Good evening to each one. I greet you in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be with you this evening. My whole family is not here this evening. My wife and youngest daughter are here. We had our Christmas singing, hymn singing at Mount Olive tonight, and the three oldest wanted to go there, so we left them go there. It's a blessing to be here with you this evening. I didn't hear the subject referenced yet this evening, unless I missed it. The title of the message this evening that I was given, A Radical Mind Versus a Temperate Mind. And I'll admit tonight, right up front, that topic, title, intrigued me more than quite a number that I've received. Radical Mind Versus a Temperate Mind, and I would love tonight, at the beginning, to take a poll, or a survey, whatever you want to call it, and ask you what the first thing that comes to your mind is when you think about that title, A Radical Mind Versus a Temperate Mind. Some of the first questions that went through my mind as I considered the subject, I seriously considered calling Brother back and asking specifically what were your goals for the message. Some of the first questions that went through my mind are we going to say that one is good and one is bad? Is we going to promote one and put down the other? A radical mind versus a temperate. Or maybe are we going to promote one as better than the other? Which? And when I was ordained, not long after I was ordained, an older minister told me something that has meant a lot to me over the years, been very, very helpful, and I'll pass it on to you because it was very helpful in this subject. He said, Randy, he said, when you get called with an assignment, he said, don't immediately think, what am I going to say about that? He said, the first thought that should go through your mind is, what does the Bible say about that? And so we're going to go there tonight. And I would like to know what the first references might be that would come into your mind when you think about a subject, a radical mind versus temperate. So we'll go there. Well, what does the scripture say about these minds? I wanted to just define terms here at the beginning to clarify what we're talking about. Automatically, when you use the word versus, you're comparing one to another. And so we're comparing two ways of thinking tonight, radical versus temperate. Two ways of thinking. We're putting them up against each other and comparing them. Another thing I did when preparing for this subject is I would meet people who I thought had lots of wisdom, I would say, hey, by the way, I have this subject coming up. What are the first thoughts that come to your mind? Where would you go? And some of the first thoughts were radical is good. We're Christians. We're radical. The teachings of Jesus are radical. And then another one yet again said, radical is bad. I think of the radical Muslims. I think about it in a negative way. Radical defined means very different from the usual or traditional, favoring extreme changes in existing views, habits, conditions, or institutions. So in other words, it's deviating from what is commonly held as a fundamental belief. It's an extreme. Temperate means keeping or held within limits. Not extreme or excessive. Moderate and indulgence of appetite or desire. So you have extreme and you have within limits. Now it was really hard to find any definitions of those words that were absent of the political. Okay? And if that helps you think about this subject, you can let your mind go there right now and then that's it. Okay? But oftentimes we can think about it in the realm of the political. We talk about the radical left and the radical right. And you can probably put names with those. Radical left and radical right. Left and right. Moderates are those that hold the fundamental values of a certain group or party. They're the moderates. And so you have the radicals pulling, and you have the moderates holding. And the fundamental values are established by what has commonly been taught or believed over a period of time. And so, could we say that what you would call radical today may be moderate tomorrow? I think history would prove that some of that happens. What does the scripture say? Let's look at a radical mind first. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. In his day, I believe Jesus was one who was looked at as being very radical. Did you imagine someone who would look the religious leader of the day in their face and say, I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Someone bold enough to make a statement like that. And that's why we classify Jesus and his teachings as radical, because as if you would go down through Matthew chapter 5, I don't think we'll take the time to read Matthew chapter 5, but go down through, it hath been said, but I say unto you. It hath been said, but I say unto you, time and time again. It hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And this teaching that Jesus was presenting was something that was very different from what they had been taught, what the Pharisees were teaching. And then he had the audacity to call them out for their hypocritical righteousness. Except your righteousness exceed that of the religious leaders of today, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. This was a teaching that put what was inside in the heart. The same level was that outward action. This was a teaching that said, if it's something that is corrupting your heart, then cut it off. Get rid of it. This was a teaching that said if you have enemies, it's not good enough just to ignore your enemies. It's not good enough just to resist not, don't do evil back, but love. Pray for, do good to them, back. The teaching that was totally different than what they had been taught. Matthew chapter 6, toward the end of the chapter, some teaching of Jesus that we still sometimes struggle with today and still call radical yet today, his teaching on not laying up for yourselves treasures here on earth, but laying up treasures that are rich toward God. Do not take thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take thought for itself. What do you do with that? Yet today. It was a teaching that seemed mixed up by times. Take up your cross and follow me. The person that loses his life will find it, Jesus said. You know, imagine yourself in these people's situation and trying to think through what he was saying. If you lose your life, you're going to find it. If you seek to control your life, you're going to lose it. Take up your cross and follow. The radical teaching. In any time you align yourself, even yet today, with the teachings of Jesus Christ, you will be labeled a radical. A number of years ago, on the streets of Los Angeles, we were having the street meetings there. We were handing out a CD that was titled, Love Your Enemy. Written on the front of the CD, Love Your Enemy. And there was also a picture there. Forget if the picture was on the CD or if it was with the little track that went out with it. But the picture was that of, and I forget his name right now, but you know the man that was fleeing across the ice and was dropped, his pursuer dropped through and he turned around and was rescuing. Okay, so you know the story, but that was the picture that went along with this CD. Love Your Enemies. And out of all the CDs that we have ever handed out on the streets of Los Angeles, this one got the most response. And many, many of the responses went something like this. That's a nice concept, but it's impossible to do. Maybe that works for you, but that will not work in a city like this. It's impossible. Radical. That you can love someone who does evil, someone who hates you, to turn around and respond with love. And that's just one example. You take these teachings of Jesus Christ and you align yourself with you, with them. And look how people look at you, respond to what you're doing. You'll be labeled a radical. There's a couple of verses I like in Acts that I'll just reference. Acts 17, verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason. They were looking for the apostles. They couldn't find them, I think specifically Paul. They drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Imagine having that label put on you. You're someone who has turned the world upside down. This teaching is so phenomenal, strange. It is turning the world upside down. You might as well hang the word radical on those. In Acts 17, 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, well, what will this babbler say? And other, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. I wouldn't mind having that label either. The one that they labeled Apostle Paul with. What will this babbler say? He's teaching these strange doctrines, all because he was speaking of Jesus Christ. He was labeled a radical. And I think any Bible-believing Christian that reads this word and wants to apply the Word of God literally to their life, in society, you will be called radical. You will. Let's go to temperate mind. Temperance is something that is mentioned a good bit through Scripture. Oftentimes when we think of temperance, we think of self-control. And you could go back to the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. There's temperance there, and it's the thought that it carries is self-control. As I put a temperate mind beside a radical mind tonight, I'm going to be thinking in a little different vein, and it'll become clear as we proceed through some of this. But first, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fighting I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Temperate. Bringing my body into subjection. Temperate in all things. Doing it to obtain an incorruptible crown. Now, the temperate mind I want to think about, I want to get out of the letters that Paul wrote to Titus and Timothy. There's a word that's used, and we're going to get into the Greek a little bit, so you ought to enjoy this. But it brings out clearly what I think is referenced here when we're looking at putting a radical mind beside a temperate mind. Go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, usually I don't try to pronounce Greek words over publicly because I can't get them pronounced very well. This one seems fairly simple. And so I'm going to go with something like sophron. Okay? The word sophron is a Greek word here in our New Testament. It's used four times. Each one of those four times is either in Timothy or Titus. And each time it's in reference to qualifications for church leadership, or the instruction he's giving the older to pass on to the younger. This word means this: safe, sound in mind, self-controlled, moderate as to opinion or passion. Let me read it again. Safe or sound in mind, self-controlled, moderate as to opinion or passion. Now let's find where these words are used. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober. Right there it is. The word sober is that word sophron, which means safe, sound in mind, self-controlled, moderate as to opinion or passion. And he used the word sober. But a qualification here. Bishop then, blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Now, turn to Titus chapter 1. And I want to read a number of verses here, 8 through 14. And the word is found in verse 8, and again, it's translated as sober. It's in verse 8, translated as sober. A lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. But I want to read this a number of verses here because I believe these verses looked at together solidify the thought of what this sober is meaning. Okay, so when we're talking about a safe, sound in mind position, not given to extreme and passion or opinion, this is what's in focus. Verse 8, a lover, and here again, qualifications for a bishop. Verse 7, a bishop must be. Verse 8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. And so it is an exhortation here to the bishops that they be these things so that there can be solid truth and doctrine that is being taught and passed on to the generations following. Titus chapter 2. Now, when they translated the King James Version, they used the word sober in these qualifications a number of times. And not every time that the word sober is used is it talking about this same meaning, safe, in mind, self-controlled, moderate to opinion or passion. So I'll try to point it out as we read through Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober. Okay, this sober is another interesting word. This word sober means circumspect. Circumspect carries this meaning: wary, unwilling to take risks, careful to consider all circumstances and possible consequences. Sounds like a very moderate mind or opinion. Someone who is circumspect, someone who is wary. And before they make a decision, they consider all the consequences or circumstances before they move. The aged men be sober, circumspect, grave, temperate. That word temperate there now is our word sophron, safe, sound in mind, moderate as to opinion or passion. Sound in faith, in charity and patience. The word sound there is a health word, really. It means whole or well, safe, as it relates to health. Okay. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Now, this word sober carries yet another meaning. It simply means to be taught in the way of having a mind that is like we reference, moderate as to opinion or passion. It means to teach someone to have that kind of mind. It Tammy, teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. And there, that word discreet is the fourth translation of the word sophron. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Yet another word, but it simply means sane or moderate. All right, so if you get the picture, as we're going through here, Paul's instruction to Timothy and then again to Titus, as you teach your older men how to relate to the younger, teach them to, in their thinking, that they're not always extreme one way or the other. Teach them to be moderate in their opinions and passions. Teach them to be circumspect, to consider the consequences. How does this apply to us, and what can we take away from the study? Okay, so a radical mind, we already said, if you align yourself with the teachings of Jesus Christ, you will be labeled a radical. And here in this instruction in Titus and Timothy, the instruction is to keep your mind moderate. What can we take away from this? Number one, I do not believe that the radical teachings of Jesus negate what is given in Timothy and Titus. As Bible-believing Christians, I think we should be labeled as radical. Because what you believe the Bible teaches about subjects such as divorce, homosexuality, modesty, nonconformity, non-resistance, civil involvement, what you believe about all those things will get you labeled radical in society. But I want you to think about it in this way. You have the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus Christ, and then you have the what society believes. I wonder where you would place yourself or your church. On one side, you have the teachings of Jesus Christ, and you have what society believes. Where in there would you put yourself or your church and what you believe? And I hope, for the most part, you fall down, that you can honestly say that we honestly try to live out what the Bible teaches as Bible-believing Christians. We try to apply that to our life and live it out. Okay, so you would come down on this side. Okay, but within that is a moderate and a radical position. There are often two ways that people look at issues, and You can think about your church here, and I can think about mine, and I can pretty much tell you where a person is going to come out on an issue in our congregation because of who they are, what they have believed, what they have stood for, and what they have promoted in the past. I can tell you if they are going to come out more on a radical position or a moderate position. And when we have a minister's meeting and we are discussing issues. I mean, you can take the issue of technology, any issue, you know pretty much where people's opinions are going to be if they have a moderate opinion or a radical opinion. As I was thinking about this and studying, I believe that God has given the church both. And I believe that Jesus himself used both. Do you think it was coincidence that the vision, when that sheep came down and all those animals were on that sheep and God told Peter, rise up and eat, and he gave him that vision about the clean and the unclean and how that related to the Gentile people. Do you think it was a coincidence that God gave that vision to Peter? I don't. I believe God knew exactly who he was using and why he was using, because that there was a man who was going to get a hold of that idea and make something happen. And he did. I think he almost got in trouble with it for it a couple times. But I think in our church, we need each other's opinion. And there are those that will have radical opinions, and there will be those that are gauging all the consequences and circumstances before they move to an opinion. And I would like to give this bit of advice, because we do this so easily. Don't label the radical mind as automatically assuming that they are out to take the church, for use of a better word, liberal. You mean, so often if somebody presents an opinion that we think is just a little bit radical, we automatically label them as someone who is going out to take the church away from the truth of the Word of God. And that is not always the case. Does it happen? Yes. But oftentimes that's not the case. There is a serious, sincere seeker who is trying to be honest with Scripture, and he comes up with this opinion. And maybe it's time to listen, instead of immediately cutting that off. On the other side, don't blame a temperate mind of being a non-thinker. I see that happening often. Someone who is wary of the consequences and circumstances and is slow to form an opinion, because they are the kind of person that is talked about in 2 Timothy and Titus. They're that kind of person. They're slow, moderate in their opinions, and they get labeled as being a non-thinker. I don't think we should do that. Don't blame a radical for being anti-authority. On the other side, don't blame someone who is temperate for being passive and gullible. See, I hear sometimes when there's a men's meeting, and there's a lot of opinions flying around, and you have a brother who's sitting there and he's not saying much. And that brother sometimes, too often, I believe, gets blamed for just, you know, following the crowd, not thinking, being passive, don't care. Really does. And he's trying to process and consider all the circumstances and consequences. And his opinion don't come as fast. I've made some observations over the years. Oftentimes you'll find that with age and wisdom comes moderation and temperance. You know, you'll hear some of these older folks saying, I have learned over the years. And what they have learned over the years is worth listening to. Another observation I have made is that oftentimes the best ideas. Are oftentimes radical ideas that have been tempered by the circumspect. Oftentimes, the best ideas are radical ideas that have been tempered by the circumspect. Another thing I've learned over the years is oftentimes you'll have to ask the moderate for their opinion. And it's worth the while to ask. It is said, this is not original with me, I heard this said one time and it makes so much sense to me because I can see it in myself, I can see it in others, that oftentimes a person's greatest weakness is the excess of their strength. Oftentimes, a person's greatest weakness is the excess of their strength. So we're going to go on that basis tonight. And I want to give a few cautions to both the radical and the temperate minds. A radical mind, I believe, can more easily be misguided. Someone who is quick with their opinion, who is radical in their thinking, I think oftentimes are more independent thinkers. Now remember, I'm not condemning this way of thinking. I'm saying that the excess of a person's greatest weakness is the excess of their strength. But I believe because they're more independent thinkers and they are constantly thinking, they are constantly processing, that they can more easily be misguided. And I find it tragic in our churches when radical minds hang on to their opinions so strongly that it takes them far away from where a safe, solid position should have been. And it happens. Another caution to the radical mind. I don't believe the radical mind places a very high value or as high a value on tradition. It's not bad to find out why you have a tradition and whether it lines up with Scripture and whether it should continue to be a tradition. It's not bad to take our traditions and measure them against Scripture. It's not wrong. But there are times when our traditions have served us very well. And to automatically assume that it's just a tradition and we'll go somewhere else is not healthy in the church. And radical minds tend to go there faster. They don't place as high a value on tradition. And a few cautions to the temperate. Temperate thinkers can be okay with a broken system long after change should have taken place. They have so long felt safe and secure where they've been that the system has broken, they haven't noticed it. Oftentimes, a person's greatest weakness is the excess of their strength. Another caution to the temperate mind. Oftentimes, a temperate mind will justify itself if the many are doing it. You look around at many other, even conservative churches, and you measure yourself by that, and you say, if the many are doing it, then it's good for me. And you fail to process that through the lens of Scripture. I'm going to close with some verses out of Ephesians chapter 4. These verses. verse as well. But I think they fit to close it. Verse 11, Ephesians 4, 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I'm not going to try to figure out for you what kind of person you are, whether you're a radical thinker or a moderate thinker. I think Scripture gives place for both. And I believe that when we can temper the radical, that we find ourselves in a good position. And I think that God has placed both of those within the church for a reason. I think we need to lean on each other's strengths. God bless you.